And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, you know that this is a special show today.
That it is. This is the final show of our second year, so the next one will become the third year of Mercenary Musings Radio.
Okay, so Mercenary Musings Radio celebrating its second anniversary. I guess that's a good thing, Mickey, because we've had a lot of fun over the past couple of years, but at the same time, boy oh boy, you know, we're getting older. Time flies. It feels like it's been about 2 months, not 2 years.
Well, it certainly does, but we both stay busy, and that's good, and that will keep us young at heart.
Okay, yes, indeed, we are young at heart. And you know, 2012 certainly, Mickey, off to an encouraging start for the equity markets, and that includes a notable pop higher in uranium stocks. And as a result of that, you wanted to focus this program on zirconium. Explain for us what exactly zirconium is. Tell us a little bit about its history, the physical properties, characteristics.
Well, it's in the rare part of the periodic table, although it itself is not particularly rare. Atomic number 40 consists of five isotopes, three of which are stable, but the other two have such long half-lives it approaches the ridiculous, something 10 to the 17th or 10 to the 19th year. So for all practical purposes, it is composed of completely stable isotopes. It's lustrous, it's gray-white, transition metal, resembles titanium. Mm-hmm. And that's no surprise because it sits right below titanium in the periodic table, and it sits right above hafnium. So you can't talk really about zirconium unless you also talk about hafnium, which will explain a little bit about our title, Zirconium from H to Z.
Okay, and how is this metal used today? Uranium stocks, I mentioned at the start of the program, moving higher at the start of the year, and that turned a light bulb on inside your head. You phoned me up and said, you know what, as a result of uranium stocks moving higher, here's a great topic for this program. Explain the link between zirconium and a good move in uranium stocks.
Well, pure zirconium metal is used for cladding in nuclear fuel assemblages because it is a neutron. It's basically transparent to neutrons, so it allows neutrons to escape freely. And that's how it ties in with zirconium, because it's made on the periodic table. Hafnium, of which it always occurs with, is a very good neutron absorber, so it's used in control rods in nuclear fuel assemblies. Now, that aside, Rob, these are minor uses for zirconium. It's mainly used as zircon. It occurs in deposits all over the world in heavy mineral sands. Most of that comes from Australia and South Africa. Mm-hmm. But also Brazil, India, U.S., and Russia are major producers. And it's one of the few mineral commodities of which the United States is a net exporter.
And that's something we haven't talked about, Mickey, in recent shows. We've been focusing on metals in, you know, where the U.S. is an importer and is having to depend on other countries to get the supplies.
That's correct. And the zirconium market, as I got into it, became quite fascinating. I love doing this research on commodities because you always end up with something, some little factoid you never knew about before. For me, zircon, the mineral, now the element wasn't discovered till 1789, but zircon, the mineral, was mentioned in more than one place in the Bible. So people have been using this mineral for a long time, basically because it's very refractory, so it has high temperature refractory foundry uses. And it was interesting to me that the most dominant use of it is in glazes for ceramic tiles. So the real demand is being driven right now by China and the Asia Pacific region because of demand. Everybody wants ceramic tiles in their kitchen and their bathroom now, I suppose, Rob.
Right. And you mentioned that Australia and South Africa, the real big hotspots for this. I think I've read, and I hope this is correct, Mickey, that about 80% of the mining activity of this metal occurs in those two countries?
It does, mm-hmm. but it also occurs in more than a dozen other countries of the world, and it zircon is a byproduct, or even in some instances a co-product of heavy mineral sands, which are mainly mined for the titanium minerals, ilmenite and rutile, but occasionally for chromite, for garnet. Mm-hmm. We've talked previously about monazite and some of the tails and the opportunity for rare earth element producers to take advantage of that market. So it's a rather large market and growing year over year. 1.3 million tons demand this year. You know, we say often that copper has a PhD in economics. Well, mm-hmm. I would submit that zirconium has an MBA, because the consumption is very indicative of the health of the world economy.
Okay, and you mentioned certainly a growing demand for this. How well supplied is the market today? Let's talk about supply-demand fundamentals, Mickey.
Well, it is in short supply now. Mm. We had strong demand growth after the global economic crisis, when demand just hit bottom. Unfortunately, what happened during that period of time, a lot of projects that were set to come online were delayed or canceled, so it's taken a while to get back. So we see this 5% year-over-year growth profile. We see steadily rising prices, now over $1,000 a ton, and that's up from probably $750 a ton 4 or 5 years ago. So what we're seeing is a very tight supply that's projected to remain until 2013, 2015, and concomitantly rising prices, supply-demand fundamentals come back to haunt the market again.
Okay, tight supply, growing demand, rising prices. You know, that sounds to me, Mickey, like a winning recipe for a company that's involved in getting this stuff out of the ground. Let's talk a little bit about that. Is this an area of the mining world in which you would encourage junior explorers, developers to be active in?
I would say absolutely not, au contraire to that opinion, because what we find is that world production is dominated by major mining companies such as Rio Tinto and DuPont and Iluka in Australia. So this is big boy stuff here, mm-hmm. and juniors probably cannot compete. Now, that's not saying that a junior with a niche deposit someplace in some emerging market country couldn't make a go of it. But the thing that's hanging over the market, and it will probably come on the next 3 or 4 years, is zircon is oftentimes a product of rare earth element deposits. So we can expect, through weird minerals like eudialyte, gittinsite, gadolinium, fergusonite, these are all contained in some of the largest rare deposits, Dobbo in Australia, Thor Lake and Strange Lake, and Kippawa in Canada, and Norrskär in Sweden. So there will be zirconium and hafnium production from those deposits sometime where in the order of the next 4 years or so.
Okay, well, Mickey, I think we've pretty well covered the major part of this story, zircon, but there's really a significant sidebar issue that we should bring in, a sidebar part of this story, and that is pure zirconium metal. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's also a small niche portion of this market in zirconium metal, and there's another one with the infamous cubic zirconia, which is used to substitute for diamonds. So, and we all know about that one. But pure zirconium metal is a very small portion of the market, something about 1% of the market. And we alluded to the fact it's used in nuclear reactors. The interesting part of it, there's only 3 countries in the world that have the ability to separate hafnium from zirconium and make pure metal, and that would be France, Russia, and the USA. And that's very understandable, because those 3 countries have been and continue to be the leaders in nuclear power throughout the world. China does not have the ability to do that. India does, but they are not exporters. So this is an important driver of the market, as the nuclear power industry continues to gain traction throughout the world.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. We're going to do it all over again in about 2 weeks from now. It will be the first installment of Mercenary Musings Radio in the third year of its existence. What do you want to focus on for the to kick off the third year?
Well, we're starting again on the strategic or minor or specialty metals, so we'll pick another one, and this time we're going to go up near the top of the periodic table and talk about beryllium, a very interesting mineral that also has some nuclear applications.
Okay, sounds good. Mickey, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rob.
And that is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.